As we continue in worship and prepare for Pastor Ron's message this morning, we're going to read a few passages from the New Testament, and you don't have to turn to them. I'm just going to read them for you. First one is from Luke's Gospel, which is the message of the angel to the shepherds. This is from Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Second passage is taken from John 19, verses 16 to 18. This is a passage about the crucifixion of Jesus. So Pilate delivered Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus. And he went out bearing his own cross to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And the final passage is from Matthew chapter 28 on the resurrection of Christ. Matthew 28, 5 to 7. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." Then one final verse, our theme verse for this series, 1 Timothy 1:15. "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy and inspired word this morning.
I just want to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 13. One verse this morning we're going to read, Romans 10:13. Paul is writing in Romans 10 about bringing the gospel to all the world. In verse 13, he writes this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And he's talking about Jesus Christ, calling upon God to save them in Jesus Christ. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the last message in our series. A series we called The Plan of God. We began 4 weeks ago by studying the crisis that required a plan from God. And that crisis was the sin of Adam in the garden when he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in disobedience to God. And through that brought condemnation upon all the world. All the human race brought upon each one of us that sinful nature which leads us to commit acts of sin and gives us a bent that is toward rebellion against God. Truly a crisis that demanded nothing less than a plan from God to redeem humanity and to bring man back into relationship with God. By the sin of Adam, we were made sinners and were separated from the life-giving Spirit of God. And today mankind continues to live under that condemnation and continues to be spiritually dead before God. It's easy for us to cover up that need, especially in the world we live in today in Canada and North America. But that is a real need indeed. And when God shows us that need, that is the place where we can begin to know God's grace and mercy and love and peace and salvation in Jesus Christ. Then 2 weeks ago, or for two weeks after that, we looked at the plan of God promised and foreshadowed. We saw that God promised and pictured and prophesied a Savior throughout the Old Testament. a Savior that would redeem mankind from the condemnation of God, from spiritual death, and bring them into sonship with God and fellowship with God. And then last week we studied the plan of God accomplished. We learned that God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. Jesus fulfilled every promise, every picture, every prophecy, every office in the Old Testament. God's plan to save mankind was accomplished through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we saw that He sent His Son in the fullness of time to be born of a virgin in the city of Bethlehem. In the fullness of time, He brought Christ to the cross and to His death, and then to a glorious resurrection and ascension again to heaven. Not only was there a day in the fullness of time when a baby was conceived by a virgin, and a day when a baby was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, but there was a day in history when Jesus was crucified and put to death on a cross. On that day, from noon until 3 o'clock, the sun was covered over, and in the darkness, God poured out His wrath on Jesus Christ for all the sins of the world. In those moments, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In those moments, Jesus became sin for us. And when God's wrath was spent and the sun reappeared, we read in Scripture, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "I thirst." And when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. God's plan. God's plan designed even before time began. God's plan to be proclaimed in the garden, pictured in the garden, prophesied through prophets, through the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, was brought to fulfillment in the birth and death and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," He was speaking about God's plan to redeem mankind from the condemnation of sin, from the slavery of sin, from the guilt of sin, and bring them into sonship and into a relationship with God. In Jesus Christ, God has brought salvation to the world. That is why, as Christians, we celebrate both Christmas and Easter. They go together. They're part of one single plan for God to bring salvation to the world. The coming of the Son of God to earth and the death of the Son for sin on the cross and His resurrection is the completion of the plan of God to bring salvation to individuals and to the world. In Acts 4:12, speaking about Jesus, it says this: "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Is God telling the truth? Is there more than one way to God? There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sin, everyone must come to Jesus Christ to receive salvation. Jesus died on the cross and was raised again so that those who believe in Him might be saved from the condemnation of sin and be made alive unto God. And this salvation can only be had in Jesus Christ. Jesus alone can save you from the punishment of your sins. God's plan to forgive sin and remove the condemnation of sin has been accomplished and now must be applied by each and every individual person who submits to Jesus Christ. Jesus claims that he will be returning as judge for those who have not turned to him as Savior. God sent his Son to earth as Savior, but his Son will also be returning as judge. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ and his claims? Will Jesus be your Savior or your judge? There's no third option available. Savior or judge? Let me share with you a few verses that tell us why Jesus was sent to earth by God the Father. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus came to earth the first time as the Savior, but he will be coming again, and this time as the judge of all those who do not belong to him. My topic this morning is the end of this series, the plan of God, and it is the plan of God applied. It is finished. It needs now to be applied by each and every one. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for your sin by dying in your place and suffering the condemnation of God, God can now offer each and every one forgiveness of sins and new life in the Holy Spirit. God offers to adopt you as his son and to make you an heir of God in Jesus Christ. If you've not asked God to save you from the consequences of your sins through Jesus Christ, I want you to know this morning, God's offer is open to you right now. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can't guarantee you that this offer will be available to you tomorrow or even this afternoon, but it's available to you today, right now. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. The promise is to everyone. The promise is given to everyone because everyone is in need of salvation from sin. There are no exceptions in this room. There are no exceptions in the world. There are no exceptions at all. Everyone needs to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. All have sinned and fall short of God's standard, and everyone is in need of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. If you're thinking this morning that you're not a sinner, or if you found another option to be accepted before God, if you think you're good enough for God to accept you as you are, do you think God's loving enough to forgive you and to let you in without Jesus Christ? You are seriously mistaken. In fact, you're calling God a liar. For he says everyone needs to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. There's none righteous. No, not even one. Everyone needs to call upon God to save them. And everyone who calls upon God to save them through Jesus Christ will be saved. It's God's promise. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a ruler and teacher in Israel. He was a man of high morality and strict religious practice. It would be hard to find a man who was better living and recognized as a holy person in all of Israel. And yet when Nicodemus came to Jesus to question him, Jesus said to him, "Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you can never see or enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again." All the goodness of Nicodemus, all the great religious knowledge as a teacher of Israel, was not sufficient to remove God's condemnation or to bring forgiveness of sins in his life. Nicodemus had to be born again. God had to separate Nicodemus from his life in Adam and unite him to Jesus Christ. Nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a Pharisee named Saul. Listen to his story in Acts chapter 26. Let me read to you a few verses from the story of Saul, later named Paul. "I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the peoples and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" Saul, the fierce persecutor of Christians, who was in complete agreement with killing the Christians, wanting them and provoking them to blaspheme God, when he realized that Jesus was God, come to earth, that Jesus was the one God had appointed for the salvation of the Jews and of the Gentiles and of the whole world, bowed before him, called him Lord, and went on to serve him passionately for the rest of his days, even suffering martyrdom at the hand of Nero. Jesus is God. Jesus came to earth and died and was resurrected that you might come into relationship with God and have your sins forgiven. And apart from that, there is no forgiveness, and you are still under God's condemnation. 41 years ago, a long-haired hippie took his student loan and flew to Copenhagen, Denmark, to start hitchhiking around Europe. In Amsterdam, he heard some street evangelists say that to get to heaven, a person needed to be born again. This 21-year-old man prayed for God to show him the way and then went on to work in Berlin, Germany, on a U.S. Army base. There he met some servicemen who were Christians. They took him to a crusade led by Arthur Blessett, a man who was carrying a cross across the country of Germany to the Munich Games and stopping in every town preaching and having crusades. And so this long-haired hippie responded to the altar call that was given in the crusade that night and was born again and became a son of God. This young man knew very little about sin. He knew almost nothing about salvation. He knew only that Jesus Christ had died on the cross to offer to him a forgiveness of sins. And God saved that young hippie that night. Today, that long-haired hippie is your pastor. God can and will save you and make you one of his children if you ask him to save you in Jesus Christ. I do not expect you to understand all that the Bible says about sin and salvation in Jesus Christ. But if you understand this morning that you are a sinner before a holy God, that you have no means of being accepted by God in your own goodness, in your own religious beliefs, in your own practices, religious practices, if you understand that, if you understand that you cannot save yourself from your sin or God's condemnation, that's enough. Ask God to save you from your sin, and he will. Not only does God want to save you from hell, but he wants to fill you with his life, a life of joy and peace, the life you were created for in his image. This Christmas, God offers you the gift of eternal life, paid for by his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. To reject God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ is to reject heaven, to reject eternal life, to reject God, and to reject any hope of being accepted by God. To reject God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ is to say yes to hell. To reject God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ, we do not have to be a Christian hater, an angry blasphemer, a lawless rebel. Most of the people who reject Christ are respectable, ordinary people who believe they're good people, good enough to make it to heaven on their own, good enough that they don't need the salvation that God offers in Jesus Christ. They do not hold their fist up to God. They just ignore God. They may practice their religious system and do their good deeds, but they are still dead in their sins. The biggest deception and the greatest lie that is blinding humanity today is that they are good enough to get to heaven and to be accepted by God. Friend, you're not good enough. As good as you are not good enough to meet God's perfect, holy standard. There's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. You are on the road to destruction whether you see it or not. If you do not belong to God through Jesus Christ, come to Jesus this morning. Start the year off as a son of God. If you are already a son of God, as most of you here are, make 2013 a year of becoming all that God wants you to be in His Son, Jesus Christ. Consider what is really important, what is of real value in the scale of eternity, and make choices in that direction. Seek God in greater measure in 2013. I close this morning with our theme verse for this series. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That is the confession of a great saint who is trusting not in himself, not in his own goodness, but in the sacrifice that God offered to Jesus Christ on his behalf. If you do not admit to being a sinner, you cannot be saved, because Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He didn't just come to repair your life, your financial position, your family situation. He came to save sinners. Every sinner who calls upon the name of the Lord to be saved from sin will be saved. If Jesus is calling you to himself this morning, make sure that you speak with me before you leave the building. Peter reminds us, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God.